find the book of Acts, chapter number 3. The book of Acts, chapter number 3. And we want to give you a thought and kind of pick up on something. We, of course, weren't here last Wednesday night preaching in South Carolina. But the week before that, the midweek service, the Lord gave us a thought that we preached to you. And felt like He gave it to us for the revival meeting we was in last week. And we preached it there, and we actually preached it before we got there between the Wednesday night and the revival meeting down at Brother Frazier's. And the Lord has let that thing develop and grow in my heart as we preach there out of Acts 9, the story of Peter and Aeneas and a lame man, a man lame for 8 years. And anybody remember what we preach? I'm going to put you to the test. Anybody remember what we preach? Sister Mary? Kick it up a notch. Amen. And it's time to kick it up a notch. And we preached on that. And so I want to preach to you tonight on it's time to kick it up a notch. Amen. Maybe we title it tonight, it's still time to kick it up a notch. All right? And we want to read a different text this evening. And preach to you from Acts chapter number 3. Let's begin in verse number 1. The Bible said, "Now Peter and John went up together in the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, Look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them." I can see this man, Brother Mark, reach out his little old cup. Amen. He thinks he's about ready to get something from Peter and John. Amen. How disappointed he must have been to hear the first part of what verse number 6 said. "Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering." And we could read further. There's several other references over the next, at the second half of this chapter. In fact, Peter speaks about this man and his healing. And he said there in verse number 12, "Amen, why look ye so earnestly on us as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk?" He said, "It ain't us that's done it." He references him again in verse 16, and speaking of Christ and his name, "Through faith in his name hath made this man strong, whom you see and know, yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." And Peter used this occasion to call that crowd at the temple that day to repent of their sin, believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and be saved. You come into chapter number 4, the ruler of the temple and the priests and the Sadducees all see this thing going on. They lay hold of Peter and John, put them in the hold in the temple. And really, they wanted to kill them because of the uproar they caused that day in the healing of this lame man who had been lame for over 40 years from his mother's womb. And you know the scene of chapter 4. I think everybody nearly here tonight is acquainted with how all that turned out. They said, well, we can't kill them because the crowd will get mad at us. And we can't even whip them because then they'll be upset about what we've done to them. And so they said, we'll just reprimand them and tell them don't be preaching anymore in Jesus' name. And leave Jesus out of the temple, and Jesus don't tell the people nothing more about Jesus. And of course, that's where Peter and John said, amen, we can't help but preach in his name. It's better that we obey God rather than man. And I reference all that to bring us back into chapter number 4 for just a second here. Look in verse number 21. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. And that's a reference back to the previous chapter, this man that had been healed. For the man, verse 22, the man was above 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing was showed. All right, that's a little bit of reading, a little bit of standing. You can go ahead and be seated. Let's pray one more time quickly. Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, one more time we confess, Lord, our own weaknesses, our own inabilities. Lord, we don't count ourselves even worthy to stand before the people of God. And yet, Lord, you called us many years ago to be a preacher of the gospel, a preacher of the word of God. And Lord, we are honored at that calling and get to exercise it again tonight. But Lord, you called us to do something we can't do. And so Lord, I pray tonight you'd help us do it. And Lord, I pray you take these few little thoughts, this thing that's kind of grown in our heart. Lord, for this month on the midweek services. And Lord, I pray tonight you'd take it and use it, Lord, to be a help. Lord, the people of God tonight that are here, others that are listening, use us tonight, we pray, for your honor and your glory and for the help of the people of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. All right, we preached from the second instance. There's three instances in the book of Acts, three records of lame men that were healed in the Word of God. Of course, again, we reference Acts chapter 9 that we preached on last week, the healing of the lame man that were given his name, the man by the name of Aeneas, lame for 8 years, that Peter called him out and basically said, it's time you quit laying around in church and it's time that you arise and walk, and when you do so, make your bed and watch what Christ can do in your life. And so we developed the thought out of that text on its time to kick it up a notch. And the Lord again has let this thing grow in my heart to the point that in my study of that text and preparing those thoughts, we come to understand that in Acts 3, this is the first of those three healings of lame men. And upon each of these men in Acts 3, Acts 9, Acts 14, when Paul healed a young man, and we find that each of these men are called upon to arise and quit laying around and to walk. And in Acts 3 and in Acts 14, we find that these healings were accompanied with not only these men arising and walking and progressing, but was filled with leaping and rejoicing. Amen, indicating these men were not casual about what God had done for them and how that it indicates these men are kicking their way through life. And that's where we develop the idea that it's time to kick it up a notch. Amen, and Peter, interestingly, is the one used in the first and the second. And he had seen Christ do this. He had seen Christ heal lame people and restore their ability to leap and to walk and to run and to kick it up. And I believe Peter had a desire to see lame people, amen, kick it up a notch. And I think if there's anything I could say is my desire as a pastor and as a man of God, it is that those who are saved and know the Lord would at times in their Christian life get tired of the stale, mundane plateaus they find themselves in and kick it up a notch and, hey man, realize there's more to being a Christian than what we know, whatever it is that you know. Amen. There's always another level, if you will, that we can go to. And some tonight have been lame for 8 years. Some, amen, sad to say, can be lame their whole Christian life. And this man had been lame for 40 years. Ivor Powell said about this man in Acts 3, though we don't know his name, he said that this story accounts to you and I of a man who is around much religious activity, and he said that it demands that we ask ourselves, is it possible that a man can be spiritually saved and yet be lame in his spiritual life? And Ivor Powell said that it is so, that it is true that, hey man, it's possible to be saved and yet live your life on a plateau whereby that you really are not walking and running and leaping through life, and that indicates that it's time to kick it up a notch. And so these miracles of the lame man, and I'm going to preach from Acts 14 next week if the Lord will help me. Amen, if I'll quit gawming around here and finish this one tonight. Amen, I want to preach on again tonight. It's time to kick it up a notch. Amen, we come to this text tonight. This man has been living this way for 40 years. Amen, we find that he's been carried here to the temple. And this was not an unusual sight. Amen, it's still something they say is practiced there in the Middle East. And America has its own versions. It's amazing the people that, amen, are begging and wanting something. They always seem to find their way to 845 West Highway 2570. Amen, because there's something attached to religious places that men go looking for some sort of, amen, help, and others some sort of handout. And I'm not questioning this man's intention or what his motives are. All I know is he is there, amen, in somewhere that he's trying to find some help for the day. And so this man is going to speak to you and I see him for 40 years living in the same old place, doing the same old things, and maybe has even after such a long period of time become satisfied with barely making it by. It's just been this way. I can see somebody say, hey man, ain't you ever gonna walk? And he just says, this is just how it's always been. And I'm satisfied if somebody would just give me a few little alms, and somebody would prop me up, somebody would carry me around. I've just got used to it being this way in my life. And can I say tonight, as it comes to our spiritual life, I don't ever want to get to the place in my walk with the Lord and in my Christianity, and in particular in my discipleship, where I am satisfied living the same old way, doing the same old things, and reaching a point where I'm just satisfied making it by, amen, where that I am. And you say, preacher, do you struggle with that? Amen, I made the same stuff you are and struggle with it like you do. Amen, and every now and then we need to get a kick in our spiritual seat in. Amen, that reminds us it's time to kick it up a notch. And I think Peter seen this man, and he seen potential in it, and he seen what Jesus could do for him. And, amen, Peter wasn't satisfied to let this man live another day, amen, without at least the opportunity to kick it up a notch. Amen, and tonight I want to challenge myself and challenge you that, amen, we would kick it up a notch. We dealt with last week some of them areas of our life. Amen. Some need to kick it up a notch in their giving. Some need to kick it up a notch in their standards. Amen. Some need to kick it up a notch in their burden for, amen, the work of God and for sinners that are on the outside. Some need to kick it up a notch in their prayer life. Amen. I know I'm preaching the choir on a Wednesday night. Amen. But just in case somebody's listening, amen, on the live stream, some need to kick it up a notch in their church attendance. Amen. Pandemic or no pandemic. Amen. Amen. You need to kick it up a notch. Some need to kick it up a notch in their desire for God. Amen. Some in their faith and some tonight. Amen. In their worship. And we go on tonight and probably list dozens of other things that relate to our spiritual life that maybe we can give some attention to and say, by the help of God and the Spirit of the Lord, I'm going to kick it up a notch tonight. And when I come, I give you a lot of things I'd love to re-preach out of Acts 9 tonight. But just limit ourselves to this text this evening and kind of preach our way through it. It's time to kick it up a notch. Amen. Let me deal with tonight, number one. Amen. About this lame man for over 40 years that let's consider for a minute the problem that incapacitated this man. The problem that incapacitated this man. We don't know his name, but through this text we learn some things about this man's condition. Of course, the Bible says plainly that he is a certain man that was lame. He is a man that needed strength in his feet and a man that needed strength in his ankle bones. This man, being a lame man, he cannot progress. He cannot stand on his own two feet. This man in his condition is absolutely dependent on family or friends or somebody in his sphere of life and of earth that will have compassion on it and drag him along or carry him along or prop him up. And then we'll say some things about them folk here in a moment. Amen. But this man is lame. This man needs some strength. This man needs, amen, something that he does not possess in himself. And so his lameness and his need that is identified indicates to you and I that his problem entailed several things. Number one, it entails to me that he's stuck. He's just stuck. Brother Larry, he can't go forward and he can't go backward. He can't even turn to the right or the left. Amen. The best this boy can do is just kind of, amen, crawl around a little bit and roll around. Amen. He's just stuck. And can I say sometimes in our spiritual life we get to this place where, amen, we're just stuck. We're not going forward. We're not backing up. Amen. And sometimes we think because we ain't backing up, we ain't got a problem. But, amen, if you ain't going forward and you ain't going backward, you're stuck and that's a problem. Amen. I know we don't want to hear that tonight. Amen. But this man needs to stay, amen, kick it up a notch. Amen. Because in his problem that incapacitated him, he's just stuck. Let me say number two. Amen. This problem that he has, it involves and indicates to you and I in the text, he's not only stuck, but he's been reduced to begging. He is begging. Amen. He can't go make his own way. He can't make a buck. Amen. He is reduced to what the Bible said, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. And so we would say that in good, amen, mountain vernacular. Amen. He ain't just asking, he's begging. Amen. And in our spiritual life, sometimes, amen, we're just brought to a place where we're so dependent on those that are around us. We're reduced to a spiritual beggarly position in which we're not living in the riches that Christ has saved us and birthed us to live in. Amen. Can I remind you when you and I got saved? Amen. The Lord gave us some great, great riches. Amen. He doesn't want us living a spiritually beggarly life. Amen. And when we reach that place, it is time to acknowledge that we need to kick it up a notch. Amen. Let me say this tonight. He's not only stuck in begging. Amen. But there's the indication in the miracle that is made upon this man that he is twisted. He's all twisted up. The Bible said in the miracle we look at in a moment, that when Peter took him by the right hand and lifted him up, the Bible said immediately his feet and ankle bones received a strength. And in my study of this, some men said that the indication or the implication here that is in his feet and his lameness, that literally, I don't know if y'all be able to see it, that literally the indication is this man's feet had began to twist into the side and were going, literally turning in backwards upon this man. And speaking of the fact that he's just all twisted up. And can I say tonight, amen, some folk need to understand that, amen, when they get all twisted up about things, amen, we could preach a while on this right here, but they're always turned in. They're always turned around about something. Amen, that's an indication tonight, amen, that we've got a problem that we need to kick it up a notch. Amen, you can't walk straight with crooked feet. Somebody say amen. Amen, you ain't gonna walk a straight line with a twisted heart. And that's an indication that, amen, we need to kick it up a notch. And a lot we could preach there, a lot I can make application to in all these tonight. Amen, in the miracle, the Bible said his feet were not only involved, but that his ankle bones were involved. And in my study, what some of the medical doctors have said, Brother Tim, is that literally this man's feet had, through his ankles, had grown disjointed. And I wrote that down, this man's problem that incapacitated him. He's stuck, he's begging, he's twisted, but there is a disjointing that has gone on in his life. Hey man, he's not in unity. He's not in a place where, hey man, he can move. He's stuck and he's begging and he's twisted because there is a disjointed member in his body. And can I say tonight, hey man, you know that you need to kick it up a notch. Hey man, when you get disjointed about things in your life, hey man, when you're disjointed from the church, disjointed from a walk with God, disjointed from the Bible, disjointed from the prayer place. Amen. Disjointed, just disjointed in everyday living. Amen. Disjointed from a sanctified, spirit-filled, holy life. Amen. These are indications that we have a problem that is incapacitating you and that, and that we need to kick it up a notch. They said about this man and the healing here that takes place, that his feet having been twisted and his ankle bones being out of socket, that this man for every day that he had lived for over 40 years, and he would have felt excruciating hurt and pain. Amen. And so he's stuck and he's begging, he's twisted, he's disjointed, but he's hurting. He's just hurting because of this matter that is going on in him. And can I say sometimes we experience hurts in our walk with God. We're hurt by circumstances. Sometimes we're hurt by people. Amen. Sometimes it's something done to us, said to us, or about us. And if you're not careful, those hurts will cause you to sit down on God somewhere. Amen. And you, my friend, will begin to live a lame spiritual life. Amen, where a preacher had to come along and say, amen, you've been there too long nursing your wounds and your hurts and rubbing your boo-boos. Amen, it's time to kick it up a notch. I see Peter and John come to this man and say, amen, boy, you've been begging and stuck too long, all twisted and disjointed. Amen, I can see this old boy rubbing his ankle bones and said, but you just don't understand. You don't understand how bad that it hurts. And yet Peter and John, amen, said, it's time, son. You've been like this for over 40 years. Amen. And now it's time to get over the hurt and the pain and trust Jesus. And Jesus will help you kick it up a notch. Amen. And so tonight, amen, you may be stuck. You may be begging. Amen, you may be twisted some way, disjointed some way, and you may be hurting tonight, amen, like nobody can understand. Amen. But, amen, I just come to poke you a little bit and poke myself, amen, and say it's time to kick it up a notch. Amen. If this text teaches you that anything, it is that these things should not be tolerated in our life. Amen. We should never be satisfied, amen, with where we can be spiritually likened to this man this evening. Amen. You say, well, I've been doing it so long, preacher. Amen. I'm fine with it. I'm fine being carried on the efforts of other people. I'm fine. Amen. Just begging for a little here and there. I'm fine just barely making it by. My friend, can I tell you tonight? Amen. You can leap again. You can rejoice again. Amen. God can do some things for us. Amen. You say, preacher, have you ever been there? I've been there where I'm preaching today. And I've been there when Jesus comes back. I've been there when men of God have challenged my life. I've been there when the Holy Ghost is breathed on me again. I've been there when the joy comes back. I'm getting way ahead of myself. Amen. But I've been there when God has done what seems like it's been impossible. And all I want to do is just say it ain't worth it. And I'll just be satisfied barely making it pay. I'm glad tonight, but Jerry, there is victory in Jesus. I'm glad tonight we can kick it up a notch. And we can enjoy this thing. Hey, man, I'm glad the problems that incapacitate you and hey, hey, man, do not have to be the final chapter of our story. Amen. Let me say number two. Amen. I'm going to have to go get tested for the plague, I think. Amen. Don't make... No, I shouldn't have said that. Cut that, John. Cut that out of the feed. Amen. We already get smart aleck saying, why ain't y'all wearing masks? Because we don't want to. Amen. Some want to, and that's fine, but I ain't preaching with one, praise God. Yeah, man, the problem that incapacitated this man. Let me say a word tonight in this text about kicking it up a notch. Amen. I think the first point is it just kind of, Brother Mark, it just kind of brings us to the place that we got to get honest with ourselves about where we are. Amen. The second point is part of, at least how I see it in the text, of maybe a point that we need to give consideration to, and it is the people that influence this man. The people that influence this man. And I don't want to be critical of these men. The Bible said that a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, and then it made this statement, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful. And I don't want to be critical of them tonight, amen, necessarily, but amen, these people are not able, amen, to really give this man the help that he needs. In fact, they just kind of attach themselves to this man, and they keep the mundane going. They just keep the cycle going. And sissy, they just take him back the same old street, take him back the same old gate. Amen. They can't do, they're doing what they know to do. They're doing what they can do. But really, this man in this story needs, amen, some people around him that have, amen, another kind of influence on his life. And I find that as Peter and John, the Bible said here that it was about, they was about to go into the temple, and verse 1 said it was about the ninth hour and at the hour of prayer. Let me just say this about this. Amen. The hour of prayer was 30 minutes after the sacrifice. Peter and John didn't show up for sacrifice. Theirs had already been made by the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary's Hill, and I, amen, may have to preach on that sometime if the Lord will help me. Amen. But here they come, and they walk by this man sees them, and the Bible said in verse number 4, and Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. Amen. Quit looking at the ones who carried you here. And quit looking on all the ones that are coming in and out. And if you will, and I don't think Peter's being braggadocious, and surely John is not, and we know that from their testimony later in the story. Amen. They're not saying we're anybody, but amen, there is the indication here that this man was going to have to get his eyes off everybody else and get them on some very specific men in Peter and in John. Now, I don't want to look at them tonight necessarily as men of God. I want to look at them tonight as just people that, amen, maybe we need to give consideration to tonight. And these kind of people would have influence on our life. By the way, let me say tonight, amen, who you allow to influence your life will dictate greatly whether or not you kick it up a notch. Amen. You can't. Many folk tonight, they'll never kick it up a notch because they're running with other people who have no influence on them. Amen. To kick it up a notch, they only have an influence to keep them in the same position they're in. And I'm not being mean about that. That don't make them bad people. It just means if you're going to kick it up a notch, amen, you're going to have the right kind of people in your life influencing you to kick it up a notch. Does that make sense? Well, what kind of men are Peter and John? Look in the text tonight. Amen. He said, look on us. Number one. Amen. I wrote this down. They are men of devotion. They are men of devotion. Amen. At the ninth hour, where are they going? They're going down to the temple and they're going there not for the fellowship, and they're not going because it's a social activity. They're going there, the Bible said, to pray. These are men of devotion. These are men that know what it is to be devoted to the secret place. And I say tonight, if you're going to kick it up a notch, you need some people in your life, amen, to influence you that are men and women of devotion. People that you know how to get a hold of God. Amen. People you know something about the secret place. Amen. People that ain't amen running around and running their jaws. And men and women who think they know everything. And those that have all the answers, that's not what we're looking for tonight. Amen. But rather people that we can have confidence in know something about being devoted to Christ. Is that right? Amen. Peter and John, I wish I'd get over this and preach this out. Amen. I'm doing the best I can now. Men of devotion. Amen. I wrote this down. They are men of distinction. They are men of distinction. The Bible said, amen, that he's a certain man, verse 2, but look in verse number 3. Let's see if you pick up on this like I saw it. The Bible said, and this certain man who, seeing Peter and John about to go in the temple, asked in alms. And the indication to me, Brother Jared, is this, that when he seen Peter and John, amen, there was something about them that stood out from all the crowd. This man stands out in the crowd. These, I don't necessarily know what it is other than, amen, maybe we could say that they were men who had been with the Lord Jesus. Amen, there was some kind of quality about these men's life that when he saw them, he said, right there, something different and distinct in those two men than all the crowd that is coming in. They're not just going through a religious exercise. They're not just showing up in the temple to be seen of men. These men, there's something about them that is different. Amen. Can I say tonight, he saw in them, amen, that these men had something he did not. Amen. You say, preacher, I understand. I've got some spiritual problems, some lameness, and I need to kick it up a notch. How do I do that? Amen. Let some people influence your life that you know have a greater walk with God than you do. Something that you know, amen, about somebody that is distinctive, amen, that can pull you up, as we're going to see later in the text, Amen. Not just walk the same level you're walking. Amen. Or worse, somebody on a lower plane that is holding you down. Amen. But rather some men and women that have some distinct spiritual qualities in their life. I believe that's right. Amen. You know why some won't kick it up a notch? They don't want that kind of influence in their life. And I'm not being mean tonight, and it's true of you, and it's true of me. If I get there, and I have before, if I'm not willing to let others that have a distinction, a spiritual distinction in their life, and go, they've got something I need, and I don't let them influence my life, I'll stay stuck forever. Is that right? The people that are influencing them. Amen. They were men. This man, these are men of devotion, men of distinction. Amen. Let me say this. These are men of discernment. These are men of discernment. This certain man who is lame, he's seen Peter and John. Amen. And he initiated it, Brother Tim. The Bible said that he reached out to them asking an alms. Peter and John turned. Did you notice what the Bible said? In verse number 4, and Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John. You know what Peter and John did? They didn't casually turn around and say, okay, he asked for our attention, we're going to go give it to him. No, the Bible said they did acknowledge. Amen, they did in compassion turn, but the Bible said that they fastened their eyes upon him. That word fashion, when it says he fashioned his eyes with John, amen, that means to behold intently. Amen, these men took in this man and what he was asking of them. They viewed his condition. They gazed upon him as though they were discerning if this man was just wanting money or if he really wanted to kick it up a notch. And I'm going to show you, I won't preach it tonight. Amen, let me give you what we call, amen, called Sunday, a little teaser right here. Amen, in Acts chapter number 14. Amen, when you read when Paul is going to heal the lame man. But Jerry had said of Paul in that situation that the man of God perceived that he had faith to be healed. Amen. I'll preach it next Wednesday, good Lord willing. Brother Jesse, God gives men of God discernment to know, amen, who to spend their time on, amen, whether or not they'll kick it up a notch. Amen. And can I say, amen, you need those kind of people in your life. And I know what they say about Brother Ledbetter. I know what they've said about other good men of God. Well, they just don't care and they just ain't about people. And nothing could be further from the truth. Amen. Nothing could be further from the truth. Amen. But a real man of God and the kind of people I want have an influence in my life are people that are discerning people that, amen, can discern the situation somebody's in and know whether or not they're ready to kick it up a notch. Because if they ain't ready to kick it up a notch, it don't matter what kind of influence you can have on them. Hey man, they never will. Hey man, that's good preaching right there. Hey man, men of discernment. Hey man, you need people in your life. Hey man, that can discern where you are. Hey man, you say, well, I'm fine. This old boy, and he said, hey man, to Peter and John, I don't need your miracle. Just give me some money. Amen. They did not have that to give. They did not have money to give. But Brother Larry, they were able to give their discernment, amen, about this man's situation and knew that they had a power. Amen. They were in tune to a power that, amen, can work in this man's life and help him kick it up a notch. Amen. And they knew this man was in a place. Amen. Where he could do it. Men of discernment. Amen. Notice in verse 5 and 6, these are men of discipleship. Amen. Notice what the Bible said. And he gave heed unto them. Peter and John said, look on us. Get your eyes off everybody else. Amen. We don't want their influence in your life. Look on us. He turned and he blocked everybody else out. Looked on Peter and John. I can see him kind of lift his little pan up and say, finally somebody's going to have some mercy on me. Amen. And Peter and John say to this man, amen, notice here, silver and gold have I none. Amen. I don't have what you're begging for. I don't have silver. I don't have gold. I don't have money. Silver and gold have I none. I can see the old boy at that point kind of drop his plate. Amen. And kind of sink down and think. Amen. Here I am stuck just trying to make it another day. And here's some more people that ain't able to make my need. Amen. But then all of a sudden Peter said, I may not have silver and gold, but man, I'm telling you, such as I have. And let me pause right there. Amen. He may not have had money and silver and gold. Amen. But I tell you, Peter did have something. Amen. He didn't have what this man was begging for. He didn't have what this man was asking everybody else for. Amen. But as a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen, Peter did have something. And so may I ask us tonight, amen, may I ask us this question tonight. What do we have to give? What do you have to give? Amen. And I'm talking tonight about more than a listening ear. I'm talking tonight about more than, amen, more than just a casual or a carnal influence. Amen, not just the things that anybody can do. Man, friend, listen, here's what Peter said, but such as I have given thee, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Amen. You see, these were men of discipleship. They didn't have material things. They did not have carnal things to give, but thank God. Amen. They had a walk with Jesus. They had had a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what this man needed more than silver and gold. Amen. More than other buddies that would feel sorry for it. More than buddies that would leave this man in the same shape that he had always been. He needed a disciple. He needed somebody that, amen, had a hold of the powerful presence of Christ and could say, I do not have what you think you need. I do not have what you are asking. I do not have anything that even resembles what everybody else here can give you today. And I've got something that'll be more than what you think you need. Amen. Something more than what you want. I've got what you need. And if you'll plug in the influence that me and little John here have, amen, we believe that God could take you some places. I say tonight, I'm thankful tonight. Amen. I want to preach so bad. Am I doing okay for being an infected preacher? Am I doing all right? Amen. I'm so thankful tonight. Amen. For the men and women of God who have had an influence on me. Amen. I'm telling you tonight. Amen. Folk that have been with Jesus. Amen. Not that crowd. Listen, Peter and John. Amen. They ain't there just doing a religious exercise. Amen. They can say, hey, lame man, there's a day we were lost. There's a day the Lord Jesus came in our life. There's a day Christ changed us. There's a day our life has never been the same since. There's a day that we got serious about following God. I can see Peter say, amen, I followed afar off and the devil, he sifted me and I about made shipwreck. But there's a day I awoke and got got serious about, amen, serving the Lord, and he made an impact on my life, and I've been preaching, and I've been serving, and I've been in love with him and dedicated to him. And buddy, I'm telling you, it's that kind of crowd, amen, that will influence you to kick it up a notch. Amen, it ain't that crowd that ain't saved. It ain't the bar, it ain't the bar stool spinners, and it kept me kicking it up a notch in life. Amen, it ain't the adulterers and the whoremongers, amen, that have had an influence on my life. It ain't that crowd that even sympathizes with that junk. Amen, but it's that crowd that has said, I've been with Jesus, I've been to Calvary, I've been in the book, I've been walking with God. Amen, those people and have a discipleship with Christ in their life. Amen. Amen. I'm so thankful today. Amen. And amen. And I'm trying to be careful here tonight. Amen. I know I'm on sensitive ground, and God knows my heart. Amen. Listen, I just want to help us tonight. Amen. They've said about Brother Ledbetter, amen, you got to be perfect. Go down there to that church. That ain't true. You ain't got to be perfect to come down here. Amen. But listen, I done sold out to the Lord. Amen. They've said other folk that have sown out to the Lord. Amen. And I need that in my life. Amen. I need people around me. Amen. You ain't got to be perfect. Bless God, if you got issues, we'll help you. Amen. If you want to really kick it up a notch. I believe this is, amen, as great a church as there is in all, amen, of all the state of Tennessee. Amen. If folk want to kick it up a notch, to kick it up a notch. Say, why would you say that? Because there's some folk around here that have a walk with Jesus. How we doing? They have a walk with Jesus. Not this flimsy little weak back. Amen. I'll be honest with you. And I know God called me to preach, and I know he called me for such a time as this. I know he has. There's some ways, Brother Mark, I feel like I need, amen, I would fit better like 50 years ago. Amen. I'm going to tell you tonight, I need folk, and thank God for the people of God, amen, that have made an influence on my life. I'd hate to think about where I'd be. And you say, preacher, have you had people in this church have an influence on your life because of them being disciples? You better believe it. Amen. Listen, I've always, years ago, the Lord, and I ain't gonna get this soul. Lord have mercy, it's getting late on us. Amen. But, I've always tried to be somebody to walk with God and pray. Amen. I've always tried to do that. Amen. Always along the way, since the Lord saved me, tried to kick it up a notch every now and then. Amen. Seven and a half years ago, I come up here. Amen. Listen. Amen. Just wanting to serve the Lord. Amen. I've gotten around some of these men, and you know what they've done? Amen. Listen to them talk about prayer, and listen to them talk about their walk with God. Amen. Listen to them, say, amen, I was up in the midnight hour praying, preacher, for the church. And I'm telling you, praying for you and praying for your family, and getting a hold of the Lord for so-and-so in their need. Knowing that, amen, there are people around here that have fasted, amen, for weeks and months at a time, and hadn't stood up and advertised it. Amen. And I'm telling you, that stirs my heart. Amen. That's the crowd I want an influence on my life. That's the crowd I need my friend around me. Amen. Men and women of discipleship. You can kick it up a notch if you'll let those people enter into your life and influence you for the cause of Christ. Let me show you truth. I may have to make this a two-parter. That'd be all right, won't it? Amen. No way I'll preach, amen, the power that invigorated this man. I'll never preach all that in 15 more minutes. Be impossible. Let me give you one closing thought. This would be a good place to unhook. Watch this here. Peter and John were the people that had an influence on him. This man knew the influence Peter and John had on him. But Tim, when all is said and done, he don't go back home with the fellers that brought him in that morning. Say, how do you know that? Look at verse 11 and I'll end right here. And as the lame man which was healed, what did he do? Held Peter and John. Held them. Amen. I know I'm sick. If you get sick in the next 2 days, it's my fault. He held them. He held them. Does that not speak of a maintaining of a closeness? Amen. Does this to me shows that this man, amen, he realizes, and it doesn't mean that, amen, it doesn't mean that we're rude or that, amen, we've got to be, amen, some kind of bully, but the Bible said, and as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John. Amen, that word held, it means to seize to oneself. It means to attach oneself to. Amen. In other words, here's how I wrote it down. Amen. This man held Peter and John. That is, he did not want to let their influence go in his life. He wanted them to have a continued influence. Thank God for people that have that kind of influence in my life. Which not just in a day. It's not just in, and I know the other people, I'm not criticizing them. They're doing the best they can do. This man awoke that day to the fact, Gerald, that Peter and John showed up in his life, and these were the men that had an influence. He said, I'll not be divided, and he held them. He held them. Cherish those kind of influences. Because you're going to need them in days to come, in the days we're living, to kick it up a notch. Amen. Well, I've got more stuff. I actually got better stuff on the last point. But I'll digress and we'll end here. Amen. It's time, church. It's time. It's time. Child of God, it's time for you to kick it up a notch. Families. My family. Families. It's time to kick it up a notch. Amen. Church, it's time to kick it up a notch. God help us. Heavenly Father, we love you. Thank you tonight for your mercy and grace. Thank you tonight for your love. Thank you tonight, Lord, for truth. Lord, we're thankful for these things you've been enlarging in our heart and mind. Thankful tonight, Lord, that you know what we need. Lord, I pray that, Lord, these things would continue. Lord, I know 2 weeks ago, Lord, seemed like there's a lot of positive response. Lord, they're out of Acts 9, and Lord, that thought's just been growing in some folk. And I pray, Lord, it continue, Lord, as we, Lord, are kicking some things back off here in the church. And Lord, going after sinners and, Lord, our community. Lord, so many other areas, Lord, seems like we've been just kind of shackled for a while. Lord, I pray that, Lord, we take from these studies, Lord, that it's time. It's time. Lord, if not now, Lord, it'll never be. Lord, it's time to kick it up a notch. Lord, what you do in us and for us, we'll thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.